Welcome to Changed by Love Radio with Pastor Jim Kevney. Pastor Jim's desire is to teach the Word of God with passion and simplicity, as well as a direct application to our daily lives.
I lay down my life for the sheep. What's he talking about? The cross. He's telling them it's coming. He also keeps saying in this section a lot, to know four times, speaking of his intimacy with the flock and God the Father. So being known by the shepherd and being taken care of by the good shepherd, what do the sheep do? We follow with faith, with gratitude, and obedience. That's what we do.
Have you ever been lost? I mean, really lost, especially like in the woods at night with no flashlight and no moon. What did you hope or pray for? Today, Pastor Jim speaks of someone who would come to find you, someone who's called the Good Shepherd. Jesus came to find the lost people, not lost in the woods in the dark, but lost in the world in the darkness. And he did that by sacrificing his very life for you. Nobody killed Jesus. He gave himself up voluntarily. Will you let him lead you home? Well, let's join Pastor Jim in the book of John chapter 10 as he continues his message, Jesus the Good Shepherd.
Jesus seemed to favor the non-elites. Some of the elites he called, but he seemed to favor those people. And we've seen an earlier passage of Jesus. We learned that the people, the religious leaders referred to them as, remember what they were? The people of the dirt. How'd you like to be the people of the dirt? Yeah. Hey, nice to meet you, person of the dirt. Well, what did Jesus think of those people? We learned what he thought about the religious leaders. Do you remember what he said? You're hypocrites. You're a son of hell. How'd you like to have somebody say to you, I've been thinking about you and you're a hypocrite and a son of hell. It's pretty sharp, right? Pretty tough. Listen to what Matthew says about Matthew 9:6. It said, but when he, Jesus, saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them. Why? Because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. Now, the religious leaders were supposed to be the shepherds of God's people, but they weren't. And so they had no shepherd. Verse 12, Jesus is very clear. The shepherd who is hired and doesn't own the sheep will not put his life at risk. What is that Jesus telling us? My people, I die for my people. Those guys, they'll run. They don't care. In verse 13, he tells us why they won't risk their lives. Because they don't care about the sheep. They mean nothing to him. Once again, it's a job. It's a job. Now, the religious leaders were making a lot of money. They're ripping the people off and all kinds of things. When we get more to the end, we'll talk more about that. And a lot of pastors, sometimes I talk to pastors and, they complain about the ministry. This is what a lot of them say. You ready? Can I let you in on some inside pastor talk? Okay, you ready? Okay. A lot of people say, the ministry's great except for the people. And your ever-loving, ever-compassionate pastor puts their arm around them and says, you should quit. Right? Because that's what it is. That's what it is. And the interesting thing is, like if you own a business and somebody's a pain in the neck, what do? You fire them. Right? Can't do that with God's people. Because why? Because they're not yours. Because they belong to God. They belong to God. The truth of pastoring is this. And some of you, I know when you're younger, you think you might want to be a pastor. If you can do anything else, do it. Do it. Now, this is what some guys say. Well, I've been fired from my last 10 jobs. Maybe God's called me to be a pastor. I don't think so, brother. Right? I don't think so. For me, it was when my company I had a couple companies, they were growing so fast, and I was just confronted by other pastors about going into the ministry. And it was, the bad part was that I knew God was calling me that for a long time. So I just kept fighting against it because it's not an easy thing. It's not an easy thing. People say to me, what do you need to be in the pastorate? You need to have thick skin and a soft heart. I owned a trucking company. A lot of tough guys. I worked for a lot of tough guys. And a lot of my employees were tough. My customers were tough. My employees were tough and whatever. So what did all of that do? It gave me a really thick skin. And then I married one of the sweetest women on God's green earth. And what did she give me? I'm still not there yet. A soft heart. I realized what I needed in the ministry, and God was discipling me through my wife and giving me a soft heart. The ministry has a lot of sacrifice and a lot of criticism. Okay, it does. So that means you have to be able to take the criticism and you have to have a soft heart. Just a quick show of hands. How many of you have problems? Raise your hand. That's a bad question, a way to word it. If you don't have problems, would you please raise your hand? We all have problems. So with this many people, how can you solve this many problems? You can't. You can't. And there are some problems that are absolutely heartbreaking that you can. That's why the Bible tells us to rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Verse 14, I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and I am known by my own. Isn't that interesting? Jesus says, I know my sheep. That doesn't really surprise me. But when he says, I am known by my own, do you know Jesus? Do you know him? Do you know Jesus? Are you willing to take the time to maybe hear him calling you today? Verse 15 and 16, as a father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And the other sheep I have, which are not of this fold or not of this sheep pen. Do you know who that is? That's us. We're in the Bible right there. We live in the Calvary Chapel Marsh Hill sheep pen. That's our sheep pen. So be like, that sheep pen stinks. Maybe, okay? But that's it. Jesus is saying, listen, it's not just you guys. It's going to be a wide, worldwide movement. Then also I must bring, and they will hear or listen to my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. Okay, got that? One door, one flock, one shepherd. In this section here, and there's more to come, Jesus says, I lay down my life for the sheep. What's he talking about? The cross. He's telling them it's coming. He also keeps saying in this section a lot, to know four times, speaking of his intimacy with the flock and God the Father. So being known by the shepherd and being taken care of by the good shepherd, what do the sheep do? We follow with faith, with gratitude, and obedience. That's what we do. Now, there's an interesting thing here, and we don't really have time to go down this rabbit trail, but I'll just mention it. Notice Jesus connects his personal relationship with the sheep to his personal relationship between him and God the Father. It's definitely on my list of questions to ask Jesus after I'm in heaven for a billion years. It's going to take me that long to believe that I'm there. And imagine Jesus saying, it's almost like he's saying, the way the Father won't reject me, I won't reject you. Now, maybe presumably a little bit different, but what is he speaking of? Intimacy of relationship. That's why I asked you to ask yourself if you know Jesus. He's talking about the intimacy of the relationship. Let's look at our good friend John the Baptist. Listen to what he says. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Many of us grew up with that in our services. So what is it? The good shepherd is also the sacrificial lamb. What are they? Metaphors. Now, if you want to read about that more, Exodus chapter 12, about the first Passover. But Jesus gave his life for his people. And he is, by him giving his life for his people, that is our eternal security for the people of God. But now we have to really forget that we're Americans for a minute. This is not the individualistic American way of thinking. And I want to just take a time out for 1 second for those of you who come from another country. Most of you come from another country within 6 months, you're one of us. It's just that Americanism is just very infectious in good ways and in bad ways. But in verse 16, he says, there are other sheep. It's not just about you. It's about other people. I believe with all of my heart, he's talking about the church that is to come. So let us never forget, it is because of the death of Jesus Christ on the cross that the community of faith was born. That's what gave birth to the community of faith. Now, online church is helpful in many ways. If you're watching online, we love you, okay? We love you. Some people live out of state. They're having trouble finding Bible teaching. I get it. Some people have health issues or they're sick. There's a number of people, gosh, sick today. So that's it too. But in some ways, we have to be honest with ourselves, it's given way to casual attendance. For example, a lot of people come up to me and they say, yeah, I didn't come last week. I go, okay, that's fine. And they go, and I went to watch it online, but then I got busy and by the time I realized the church was over. I go, well, you can go on YouTube and watch it again and stuff like that. But it's not the same as being here, is it? No. Let me give you an example. Last week was the second Sunday I called out. Now, let me put some parameters on that. The first time was I called in on Friday, said I had COVID. I was only tired, but Pam had it very bad. And so I didn't want to come here and give it to people. Saturday night it would have been Sunday morning, about 2 a.m. when I couldn't stop sneezing. I knew that I was going to make it, but I didn't want to text Pastor John at 1:30. So I waited till 5:30. But I had told him the day before that I might not make it. So then we were talking and he said, looked at me and he said, I know you're watching. Can you believe that? He said that, right? Yeah. Does everybody say guilty? Guilty. Louder. Guilty. Yes, very good. He's in the audience. That's why I want him to feel it. So I did say it. And so I told him I saw that. And then I said, how did your message go? And he goes to me, you didn't watch it? I go, I fell asleep. I fell asleep in the chair. Well, no, I was sick, but not that it was boring. So I fell asleep, and then I woke up to the ending worship, but it was the second service. And I never got to watch it again. So if you can watch it and stay awake, God bless you. Now, I've watched our services online at home and stayed awake through the whole thing before. Please don't get me wrong. But it's just a little bit different. So we can never forget, okay, it was Jesus' work on the cross that unites us in worship and as the family of God. So let us never forget that Jesus Christ is our shepherd. You know, sometimes people say to me, why do we stand for the reading of God's word? Let me tell you why. Because the living God, the great shepherd, is speaking to his flock. That's why. We stand. There's no checking around what's on you, what's going on, notes, phones, other stuff like that. We stand and give attention to God who speaks to his flock. Who is that flock? The people Jesus died for and have responded through faith and trust. If you're not a follower of Jesus, I want you to hear that loud and clear. Who's in the flock? Those who Jesus Christ has died for and responded in faith and trust. Very, very important. Very, very important that we understand these things. If you reject Jesus, you're still outside the sheep pen. You're still outside the flock. Verse 17, therefore my Father loves me because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. Jesus saying, I lay it down, but I can rise from the dead. Now, he said, my Father loves me. That's not why God the Father just loves Jesus. There's other reasons. Verse 18, no one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have the power to lay it down, and I have the power to take it up again. Once again, I can. When he says, I have the power to lay it down, meaning he's saying, you think you're killing me. You're really not. I'm going to do it. And then I will raise again. This command, this is very important. This command I have received from my Father. We'll come back to that in a second. Essentially, Jesus is saying this: my Father loves me, and I am dedicated to doing his will. That means that the cross and the resurrection is God's promise of eternal life to all who follow Jesus, to all who put their faith and trust in him. Now, let's please understand this. And again, sometimes people will say this to you and don't view it as they're wrong, view it as an opportunity. People will say stuff like this to you: the death of Jesus Christ on the cross was a horrific incident. No, okay? But rather a glorious victory as God rose him from the dead. Jesus is very clear here that both Jesus and God the Father are in control of his destiny. It is not the religious leaders who want to kill him. Jesus is the risen shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep, shows his power over sin and death, and that is a great hope for his flock. That is something we need to think about. We need to think about the great hope that Jesus has for us. Notice the end of verse 18. This command I have received from my Father. Remember, Jesus is the great miracle worker, right? What does that mean? He allowed it. He allowed it. It was planned from eternity past. The Apostle Peter in the book of Acts chapter 2, Jesus is ascended into heaven, seated at the right hand of God, and he's talking about the cross, and he says this, Acts 2:23, it was the determined purpose, some verses say plan, and foreknowledge of God. They planned it. They planned it. Also, we too can rise from the dead. And don't miss the fact that God gave his divine Son to die on the cross. So verse 19 through 21, John gives us his commentary. He was there. This is what he sees. Therefore, there was a division again among the Jews because of these sayings or these words. And many of them said, he has a demon and is mad. Some of your versions say, he's insane, he's crazy. Why do you listen to him? Verse 21, others said, these are not the words of one who has a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind? Remember, we're still talking about that blind man. So what is going on here? Jerusalem, Israel, and earth had a great visitor. Today, we're challenged with that question: who is he? As is common, some people hear about Jesus and they believe. Others do not. The message of Jesus Christ is very controversial. And part of that reason, I think, is so it's two camps. You're in one pen or you're in the other, or you're outside the pen. Very important that we know. And he did rise from the dead. Verse 19 says there was a division again. Last time, in verse 6, it said the people were confused. So the reactions to Jesus' claims will differ. If you are a follower of Jesus, I want you to understand this. That will be your experience as well. Try not to let it discourage you. Let it take you to prayer. We've said this before. It's important to think of salvation at times as sort of like a chain. You never know where you are in the chain. You may be the first person really telling people the truth about Jesus. You may be the last person. You may be in the middle. You don't really know. And one of the reasons is what Jesus says often sounds foolish to the natural man, to someone who's has not been brought alive, born again by the Spirit of God. But the reality is there is no neutrality with Jesus. There's absolutely none. Also, look here, there's a critical question. They go, why do you listen to him? You know what that tells you? That they're not followers of Jesus, that they don't know God. I think too often we talk to people and it is their bad answers to some of our questions or the things that they tell us. And instead of us going, oh, opportunity, we go, too bad. See ya. No, No, these are opportunities. How many of you right now, quick question, how many of you here, and if you're driving in your car, only use one hand, please. How many of you here were raised in a religious system, but you realize that, let's say, up until the age of 20, you basically knew nothing? Look at that. Look around at all those hands. Yeah, you basically knew nothing. That's a lot of people. That's a lot of people. So instead of when you get these kooky kind of opinions, see the opportunity. Let them speak and tell them, this is what the Bible teaches. Now, this is the problem. A lot of us think, well, I really don't know what to say. As they're talking, you're listening, and this is what you do. You do what we call, from the book of Nehemiah, arrow prayers. You say, Lord, help me now. Holy Spirit, help me now. That's all you need to say. And then you open your mouth. And even you will be surprised at what comes out. You'll be like, oh my gosh, now I know why Pastor Jim repeats himself so much. So you're able to say those things to people to tell them the truth. Did you know that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins and mine? Did you know that all we have to do is put our faith and trust in him? And that's how we receive the forgiveness of sins. It's that simple. But it takes a willingness to want to trust in Jesus, to change with God's help, and to follow Jesus. There is no neutrality with Jesus. There's none. See, these people are not amazed at the power and authority of Jesus. They're spiritually blind, so they reject him. My dear friends, today, let me ask you, what about you? Are you someone who's never put your trust in Jesus? Or are you a cafeteria Christian? You know what a cafeteria Christian is? Someone who goes along the line at the cafe and they're sliding their thing down. I'll take some of that. Oh, I don't want any of that. Take some of that. No, I don't like that. Okay, which is it? You're either all in or you're all out. There's no middle ground. You're either in the pen or you're outside. Now, some of those things will take a while to work your way through for sure. Jesus is the great hope for his people. So, if you're not a follower of Jesus, as we close, I want to ask you this question. Have you heard the gracious voice of Jesus Christ calling you to the flock today? Or maybe you think you're close. Now you say, not me, not what I've done. Well, to be honest, some of God's biggest enemies are now some of his best followers, because their life is so flipped upside down, they don't even know what happened to them. Many people say they're afraid. Afraid of what? Afraid of missing out? Jesus offers you pasture. He offers you life abundance. He offers you eternal life. If you're not a follower of Jesus, you can enter the kingdom of God through simple faith and trust in Jesus Christ, because the good shepherd has already done the work. All you need to do is respond. The door is open right now for your soul to enter for all time. I pray for you, if you're not a follower, that you walk through it today, because you'll never know when you'll feel this way again. And so put your trust in Jesus. And for those of us who have entered through the door of Jesus Christ already, let us praise the name of Jesus Christ, the one and only Good Shepherd.
You have been listening to Changed by Love, the teaching ministry of Pastor Jim Kevney. Our hope and prayer is that all of our listeners would grow into committed followers of Jesus Christ, and we are overjoyed to play whatever role we can in helping you mature in your faith. Would you like to know more about us? Maybe you would like to pass on this message to a friend or family member. If so, go to our website, changedbyloveradio.org. Maybe you have a question or need some guidance. We don't want to replace your pastor, but we are here to help. Our email address is changedbyloveradio@gmail.com. You may be surprised to know how excited Pastor Jim and the Changed by Love Radio team are to hear from you. In fact, it's common for Pastor Jim to pass on your encouragement to the congregation, since we consider all of our listeners part of our family. Would you prayerfully consider financially partnering with us so we can continue bringing Pastor Jim's simple teaching to you each day? Some people give monthly, some periodically, and some others a one-time gift. Every gift helps further God's kingdom, and we all play an important role in that. Simply go to our website at changedbyloveradio.org and click the donate button. Our goal is to simply share the life-changing message of Jesus Christ to you, your friends, your family, and your community. We would love to hear from you, and please let us know what station you hear Changed by Love Radio on. We pray you stay close to Jesus and that you will be changed by love. God bless you.